Good morning, everyone.
Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Bible. We thank you that they are your words to us today. And we ask now that by your Holy Spirit, you would help us to hear what you've got to say to us individually and as a church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, every day we work or we serve someone else. Maybe your work is our responsibilities at home, a parent maybe, a guardian, maybe you're a carer for an adult or a child. Maybe your work activity takes you outside to another location. Whether it's paid or volunteer work, whether it's full or part-time, whether you've got a senior or junior position, whether you've got more than one job, whether you're on benefits looking for work, whether you're a student, whether you work for an employer, for someone in the family, for a friend, for the community, or for the church, for St. Patrick's maybe. If we're Christians, if we submitted our lives to the Lord Jesus, trusting that his death and his resurrection has forgiven our sins and healed, reconciled that relationship that was broken with God, well then we're called to work at our work with all our heart as working for Jesus. One of the key aims of our current sermon series, this is part three on work, is to help us to see beyond the challenges and the temptations of work and to see them as opportunities to serve Jesus, knowing that Jesus cares about what we produce and how we produce it. If you're not a Christian here or listening in today, you are really welcome. It's so great to have you part of the congregation. And can I just ask you to listen in and to hear what Jesus asks Christians, tells Christians to do in their work activities. And I pray that he would stir your heart to come closer to him, as I pray that for all of us today. Well, over the first couple of weeks of the series, we've heard that work is a gift from God and that work is part of God's good design for us. But because of our rebellion against God, we call that sin, the Bible calls that sin, work has been spoilt. Work can be painful, it can be unfair, it can be meaningless. But if we're saved by the Lord Jesus, sometimes we say if we are in Jesus, Jesus transforms how we approach work and any type of work activity. Because as we heard last week from the Ephesians reading, Ephesians 2 verse 10, that when we're saved by Jesus, we become God's handiwork, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And David summarised last week by saying that we're saved by a better boss, that's the Lord Jesus, to be a better worker because we're God's masterpiece, his handiwork, to do a better job. And that better job is what our central verse today says from Colossians 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Work activities, whatever they are and wherever they are, become an opportunity to respond to the amazing grace that God has shown us in Jesus. And that verse and our reading today from Colossians are part of a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to Christians of his time to correct some wrong behaviour that had crept into that church because of some false influences and superstitions. And Paul's letter emphasises the absolute power and authority of the Lord Jesus over everything. And it emphasises that Jesus has achieved absolutely everything that is needed for our salvation, to be saved, be rescued from our sin and to be with God forever. And so he says throughout the letter, just don't be distracted with all those things. He says, and he urges them and he urges us today, just follow Jesus, be like Jesus, trust Jesus alone and live distinctive lives for him. And then Paul, as he writes, he moves into different specifics as what that will look like in different parts of our life, including as we get to our part about work. And I recognise verse 22 where Paul writes to slaves and masters. That was the culture that he was living in, the Roman Empire. That was the way of life. It doesn't mean he agreed with it. In fact, you read his words around this verse and others, he subverts it as he writes. But he has to write into that culture. But the principles still apply to us today. If he was writing into our culture today, he would be saying employers and employees, those you serve, those who receive service, and so on. So how can we take Paul's instructions in these verses from Colossians and put them into effect in our 21st century work activities? Well, I called today's sermon Working for a Good Return, because I wanted to emphasise that as Christians, we work ultimately not for what we can get out of it, but for what others benefit from it, their reward, as it like, their return. Three things. We do it. We do the work for Jesus because he is our boss, to glorify him. We do it distinctively so others benefit from our work. And we do this hoping that more people will know Jesus and be part of his family. So my three headings for the rest of the sermon are work for Jesus as your boss, work distinctively, and work to witness. Verse 23 instructs, that's where it says about working for the Lord, instructs Christians to work for the Lord, not human masters, because he is our master, he is our Lord. But the point here is that with Jesus in mind, the end result of what we do will always be the best we can do in any particular circumstance, whatever that is, regardless of the task, regardless of who we're doing it for. We do our best because we're doing it for Jesus. Paul, in this letter, he has to instruct them, those Christians, because they need their lives resetting with Jesus. But ideally, our motivation to work, as if Jesus is our boss, will be in response to what Jesus has done for us. We're going to remember it later, aren't we? But in his life and death, Jesus gave everything for you and for me. By his death and resurrection, he's beaten evil, he's beaten death, and he invites us to be part of his kingdom, to be part of his family forever. So in our work, as in all aspects of our lives, Jesus deserves the best that we can give in our response, in our thanks, as part of our whole life worship of him as our boss. Our motivation as Christians to do the best we can is not to get a high salary or lots of wealth or gain prominence or reputation or to be recognised. We do our best in response to Jesus' saving love for us. So he gets the glory, not us. Anyone can work hard, anyone can produce lots, anyone can keep in with their boss or their manager. But the Christian motivation to work for Jesus' glory is unique. And it changes everything. For instance, it changes everything in terms of how much value we put on certain types of work. Tomorrow you may be teaching children. Tomorrow you may be signing off on a multi-million pound contract. You may be changing nappies. You may be putting loads of data into a spreadsheet. You may be making a decision that is going to change an individual's life, their future. Each of these jobs and all the other activities we do every day glorify Jesus in the same way when we give our best in response to his love for us. And this is because, as we heard from that verse last week in Ephesians 2, our identity is in Jesus. Our boss, the better boss, accepts us for who we are at the beginning of our working day and at the end when we've done all those activities. Who I am to God is not based on what I do, my position, what activity and output I'm involved in during the day. As Christians, our identity is firmly in the Lord Jesus. And what and how we do it, whatever it is based on that truth alone. And so that frees us to focus on giving God the glory, or as Paul emphasises in verse 23, to work at it with all of your heart. Work for the Lord with all of your heart. But all of your heart doesn't mean work yourself to a frazzle and give yourself a heart attack. And our reading from Mark's Gospel that we heard is helpful here, particularly verse 30. Worship of God, loving Jesus, in response to who he is and what he's done for us, involves all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength, everything that we are. Working for Jesus as our boss is about giving all of those things together wisely. So if we just take strength and we look at it in narrowly and we put all of our effort, all of our strength, all of our energy into working mega hours 7 days a week and crash out, well, we're not using our mind, are we? We're not using our wisdom and our knowledge that tells us this is not what Jesus means. So we need to change things. That's one extreme. At the other extreme, if we use our minds to think of loads of things that we and other people can do for Jesus, but that we don't actually do any of them, well, the Bible has a lot to say about idleness, which we haven't got time for today. Working for Jesus as if he is your boss calls for us to give all that we are completely to him in service. Final point on this aspect. If you're like me, you're going to need reminders that the things that you're doing during the day are for Jesus, as he is your boss. I certainly need that when I'm doing cooking. I'm not very good and I don't like it, but I have to tell myself I'm doing it for Jesus. So we need to keep Jesus, to help us do that, let's remind you, we need to keep Jesus at the centre of our day. He's always with us as Christians, but we often just sort of, you know, isolate him, don't we? Put him aside. We should welcome him and we've chat with him in prayer. Lean on him as necessary during the day. Now, of course, as I know, we're all in completely different circumstances than the work activities that we do during the day. But here's a couple of ideas. Have a Bible verse for the day that interrupts you, that catches your attention. You know, it could be on the fridge, it could be on a door, it could be on your desk, it could be on your pocket, on your phone. Ailish, my wife, she's had a really, really difficult time at work recently. It's really been stressful and busy working on the Afghan evacuation. And it's got her really down at times. She's really, really been, you know, under the cosh, as it were. So she wrote out by hand and then put up the verse, wonderful verse that Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye who are laden and burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest for your soul. And that's been really helpful for her, just to lift her head up from her screen and see that. Something like that could be helpful for all of us. During the day, pray short prayers as often as while you're working. You know, if you're going into a difficult meeting or seeing somebody, pray for integrity and honesty as you go into that, for instance. Or you might need to say to Jesus as you go, give me compassion as I go and do this thing. Or it may be that, remind me that this is a privilege what I'm doing for you and it's not a duty. Or you could listen to podcasts of sermons, Christian music when you're doing your activities, if that's allowed where you work. Keep Jesus at the centre as you work for him as your boss. Secondly, work distinctively. If we're working for Jesus with all of our heart in our work activities, well, it will be distinctive to others. And Paul in these verses gives us some specifics what that might be. He says in verse 22, being distinctive will include being obedient to our boss, to your manager, to whoever the person that you're serving every day. Whether you're being watched in their location or whether you're doing something behind the scenes on your own, for instance. And he mentions sincerity of heart in that same verse, which I think means integrity and is closely linked to that obedience. The expectation is that Christians will be respectful to their boss, to their face and behind their backs, as with all people that we come into contact with, hopefully. That doesn't mean we're always going to agree with our boss, but it means we can always show respect. I mean, on rare occasions, we won't be, perhaps, be able to be obedient if it compromises our faith in some way. And if you're in that position, I would suggest that you, before you do anything, speak to a trusted Christian, mature Christian friend, or to David, our vicar, our pastor, before, you know, to talk that type of thing through. And in verse 22 again, Paul says, we do it with reverence to the Lord. We do all these activities, this work in our lives, with reverence to the Lord, self-controlled, godly, in our speech, in our language, in our actions. They're just a few of many ways that we can be distinctive. And as I say, they can apply to all of whatever we do every day. If you're struggling to thinking, well, I don't go out to work or this or that, you know, just give just a little bit of thought. Every day you do something which is sort of an activity. This applies to us all. Applies to us whether we're the boss, the very senior, the most junior, everything in between. We want to represent Jesus well because we don't want to discredit his name. But when we get it wrong, and we will, and I know I did and I do, don't be defensive. Don't try to cover it up. So often we do that, don't we? We try to reason with ourselves. Apologise for what's gone wrong, what you've done wrong, however painful, however embarrassing, and try to correct it. And you know what I found, especially when I was a manager and running a team before I retired, it can provide an unexpected gospel opportunity when you have to say, do you know, I'm not good. I'm a sinner. I'm a saved sinner by Jesus. Conversation often ends there, but you know, it's an in. In verse 24, Paul says, work in this distinctive way in the knowledge that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. This means that our activities, however boring, exciting, easy or challenging, will be done in view of the eternal hope that we have because of Jesus. That inheritance of eternal life, the certainty of being with Jesus forever in heaven, when everything, including work, will be a joy and a delight. So that means that when our work isn't appreciated, or we're overlooked for promotion maybe, or we're suffering some injustice in our activities, we can be patient, we can be firm in the truth that our identity is in Jesus and that promised inheritance. Of course, there will be some things that have to be addressed through formal procedures, but even then we can keep it in perspective, acting in a godly, distinctive way. Elsewhere in Ephesians, in chapter 1, Paul speaks of receiving a down payment of that inheritance as a guarantee of that inheritance. He talks about the Holy Spirit. When we become a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit given to us, and that Holy Spirit will counsel us and guide us and help us through those tricky times as well as the good ones. Verse 22 and then on to chapter 4 also call us to be distinctive in what I would call an otherly way, with others specifically in mind. And this pulls in Mark 12 again, that gospel reading, loving our neighbours, that second part of the reading, loving our neighbours. Treating our colleagues, our peers, our bosses, our staff fairly, right, equally. As Christians, these are great opportunities to be distinctive in going the extra mile, in caring for somebody, in supporting them in who we work with or who we serve. And there's another otherly aspect of working distinctively for Jesus, in thinking about the end user of whatever job we're doing. Regardless of how important or unimportant you think, we think, that job is that we do, we can serve Jesus distinctively and love our neighbour by personalising it. Thinking about who will ultimately use what I'm producing today or I'm working on, and put Jesus in that place, can make a difference, motivation for how you do that job. I remember when I worked on the Syrian resettlement, my last job before I retired, and I emphasised to my team always that whatever you do, think about the end user, the refugees that we are resettling to the UK. So even if it was a very standard template email, I hate template emails, but anyway, even if it's a really standard template email, make sure it's right, because one tiny factual error, because you've been a bit slapdash, can make a real difference to that individual. So whatever you design, whatever you create, whatever you make, whatever you repair or clean, whatever you produce and support, collect, deliver, whatever you do, working distinctively can show love for God and love for others. So we've looked at our motivation for working for Jesus as our boss, and what it looks like working distinctively for him. So lastly, work to witness. So hopefully, as I said, we're being distinctive as we work for Jesus with all of our hearts, worshipping him, giving him glory. But one area of work where Jesus calls us all to as Christians is to witness for him, is to point others to Jesus. So do those that we serve, those that we work for, do they know we're Christians? Do they know that we love and serve the Lord Jesus? If people notice that we work in a distinctive way, differently to them maybe, obediently, with integrity, otherly, do they know why that is? You know, we can't make assumptions that people will work out the truth of the gospel, the truth about the Lord Jesus and how people need them in their lives. We can't make the assumption that they will make the leap by just looking at us doing something differently. We need to make the link for them so that we can then have an opportunity to share the gospel, to talk about our faith, to talk about Jesus, to say why he's more important than any job or any salary or any promotion or any recognition. That's where these last few verses in chapter 4, verses 2 to 6 come in. We've already talked about keeping Jesus at the centre of our work activities so that we work with all our heart to glorify him as our boss. But these last verses are specifically focused on being prepared to share the gospel. Paul says we should prepare prayerfully. And those prayers for ourselves and for each other should be thankful prayers, watchful prayers, and prayers looking for opportunities. Opening doors, as Paul puts it. So I recommend that, you know, when you start your day, whatever those activities are going to be, you start the day by thanking God for the work that he's given you and placed for you to do that day, because you're going to do it for him as your boss, ultimately. And then to ask him by his Spirit that he would open doors for you in that day, an opportunity, not just to be distinctive for him, but to share the gospel. And thirdly, to pray to be watchful, alert to those opportunities, because if we ask for opportunities, he will give us opportunities. To be wise how we use those opportunities, as Paul says in verse 5. To be courageous in how to witness. Be prepared, ask in the Spirit to give you discernment, to give you grace, to give you the right words, salty behaviour, flavoursome to the person you're with. That it might be a step for them, maybe a first step towards them, knowing Jesus for themselves. So whatever your work, whatever your activity tomorrow, work for Jesus as your boss. Work distinctively and work to witness. Let's pray. We were going to do another interview today of called like This Time Tomorrow, talking to somebody and about their work and praying for them. But we're going to do This Time Tomorrow for all of us in this place and on the live stream together now. So as I pray for yourself and pray for those around us in the church today and on the live stream. Maybe think of the people that are sitting either side of you, for instance. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus, that he has given everything for us that we may be saved to work for you, our brilliant boss, and to give you glory. We pray that you would help us to be distinctive as we do that, to stand out as Jesus people. We pray that you would help us to be looking out for opportunities to witness for you. And Lord, we pray that at this time tomorrow, about 11:30, Lord, that we would have you in mind specifically, that you would help us to be thankful for where we are, that you would help us to look out for those opportunities, and that you would give us the courage and the actions and the ability to respond to those opportunities, to tell people just how brilliant, how wonderful, how glorious you are, Lord Jesus. Amen.